This is SB Nation Radio.
The next generation of sports radio.
On this team, we fight for that itch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that itch.
This is the Casey Smith Show.
So let's hear it one more time. Together. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Let's go.
Here's your host, Casey Smith. Are you smiling by my
table? Normally, whenever the show is on a random day, at a random time, I always have to fix things I don't need to be fixing.
Yeah, you get new production.
Why? Why? We have a wonderful production team, and I just wanted to change things up, I guess.
Back
I
don't to know. Your starting out days.
I know. Maybe that's what it is. When I'm in this studio, I revert back to like 2012 when I was a producer.
Brings back the glory
days. I don't know what it is. Welcome into the Casey Smith Show live on a Thursday morning
this
with
is
Annie
SB Nation.
Normally, we are on from our Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 3 Eastern, but we've got a lot of things going on right now, so we are doing this on Thursday instead.
Yeah.
Plus, it's the NFL weekend, and things don't really change. Like, unless Tom Brady, like, falls off the face of the earth, or Aaron Rodgers decides he wants to quit, or something crazy like that, it's going to stay about the same.
It would be a plot twist for sure.
Would it not be? The whole world would explode. But this weekend, of course, being the NFL title game weekend. I want to keep saying championships, and I know it's the AFC and the NFC championships, but every time I hear championship I'm like,
game.
Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah.
But the AFC.
But technically it is.
There are four teams left, and then there are four. And all week, Annie, we've been talking about how great the quarterbacks are in this. This is really an interesting four teams left because four of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Seriously.
Obviously, multiple arguments for really all of them. Maybe not Roethlisberger as much, but the MVP of the league. Obviously, Derek Carr was that guy earlier in the season when he got hurt. Mm-hmm. But now you look at these four quarterbacks left, lots of good storylines. And again, each weekend that the NFL playoffs has been here, the games keep getting better and better. Mm-hmm. I'm being real petty today. I'm wearing my Cowboys blue. I refuse to let it go.
I wear a graphic tee. It's graphic tee Thursday.
I know. Normally we wear graphic tees on Fridays, but hey.
Mornings and mimosas is what mine says.
I'm wearing my Cowboys blue and my Kendra Scott today.
And that's a choker.
It's Kendra Scott. She's a wonderful sponsor of ours. So I feel like, you know, she matches well with Cowboys blue. I'm not going to let it go. I'm still heartbroken. But before we're going to break down those games, obviously both of those games being on Sunday, look at kind of the matchups and what we think. But before we get there, the drama has continued, which I guess it's, you know, all wraps into one. But with the whole Steelers thing and with Antonio Brown, did you see what Julian Edelman said?
I have not.
So he came out and is talking about it, too. And he's like, this doesn't affect us. But then he put in some petty comments.
Ooh,
and
pettiness. I love
this
it.
This just keeps happening. And, you know, we talked on the show yesterday about Mike Tomlin's comments, about Bill Belichick's comments. And now it's like, I saw this comparison online today and I was going to get your thoughts.
Okay.
You know, everybody's talking about Odell Beckham and how, you know, they went to the yacht and blah, blah, blah. We don't have to
party
relive
with
that.
Jay Beebs.
Who doesn't like to party with Jay Beebs?
Let's be honest.
Lifelong goal, bucket list right there. But people are talking about, you know, how he had that bad game, how he couldn't catch and, you know.
That was the storyline going into it, is he going to perform or not?
Whether the yacht had anything to do with it or not. So now people are saying, could Antonio Brown have an Odell Beckham Jr. moment? I don't think so, but I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
I don't think so. I think those are two totally different scenarios. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. getting on a plane and going out with his buddies on a yacht. I mean,
In Miami.
I mean, that's a completely different scenario. I think anytime there's a storyline like this going into a championship game, it can provide a little bit of distraction, maybe. But I don't see it affecting his game at all.
I don't either. And, you know, he's come out with a great apology.
Right.
You know, obviously that we're waiting to see, you know, what that's going to look like and what's Mike Tomlin going to do, because he said he was going to punish him and whatever that will be. But Antonio Brown is so important to this team. We know, just like everybody else knows, he's not going to not be playing. That would be stupid.
If he were to be punished, it'd be after.
I'm hoping that it kind of dies down just for the sake, because that game is going to be so good.
It is.
And I think everybody's just wanting things to talk about because college football is over with. There's some drama in
Searching
the NBA.
Searching for storylines.
But the NFL, there's four teams left, and some of these teams really only have storylines on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And right now it's easy to talk about the Steelers and Antonio Brown and trying to compare it to Odell Beckham Jr. I just don't
trying
see
to find
it as the
some
same thing.
Type of way that it's going to affect their game. I don't think it will. I mean, I think it's a totally different situation, and I think it's kind of a thing that they're not trying to focus on right now.
Well, welcome in if you're listening to us on gridironnow.com, if you're watching us on Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, or SB Nation Radio nationally every week, and of course iTunes.
Always appreciated.
So we like to have the cameras added. I always want to remind people of that. So if you are just listening to us, you can actually watch too. I don't know if that sounds creepy or not, but you can actually watch if you go to social media. So we appreciate all of that. We're happy to be here on a random Thursday morning. It's early for
it
us.
Feels like Friday, and I love it.
It does feel like Friday. Well, it's kind of our Friday.
It's our Friday.
And it's our Friday. It. But the NFL games are like still 4 days away or 3 days away.
I know, a lot of anticipation. It's,
but hey, there are going to be some good games, I think.
There are.
So we're going to start with the Packers at the Falcons. Obviously, the NFC title game Sunday, 3:05 Eastern on Fox. I mentioned that I'm wearing my Cowboys blue because obviously I'm from Dallas and I'm going to hold on to it as long as possible. And it was really actually an accident, but then I decided to keep it on and be petty. But this game, obviously a lot of attention on it for multiple reasons, being the NFC title game, but also how hot this Packers team is. What Aaron Rodgers was able to do last week against the Cowboys. Everybody's still talking about that 3rd-and-20 pass. Nobody can tell me that that was an easy thing. You hear, like, Skip Bayless was talking about that on Fox Sports 1 all week. Like, oh, that was a routine play. I'm like, no, come on, Skip.
Classic Skip.
Like, Shannon Sharp was like, really? That is not, like, there's nobody on this planet that can convince me that that was an easy throw after he had just been blindsided and sacked the play before.
But leave it to Skip to try.
Leave it. But that's what he does best, right? That's what he does best.
That's why we love him.
Of course, Aaron Rodgers, the storyline right now, just how good he's been for this team. And obviously the last time they played the Falcons in week 8, the Falcons did squeak out a 33-32 win. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers had a good game, 246 yards and 4 touchdowns. Matt Ryan, on the flip side, 288 yards, 3 touchdowns. But what was interesting about that game is it kind of put them into this like spiral of what's really happening right now with the Packers. And all season, at least early in the season, we were like, what is going on with Aaron Rodgers? And this storyline, as long as they continue to win, continues to get better and better, because he sat back and he said, hey guys, like, after,
and he came out and said, you know, what matters is winning in December, and he made that clear that that was his mission. Mm-hmm. And I think he's on a mission right now, and he is hot. I mean, I think that's the huge storyline here, is how hot this team is behind Aaron Rodgers. And these are two totally different teams than when they played earlier this season.
Completely different. And you look at, this is the game that everybody's looking at as an offense game, because I don't know what the over under is right now.
Oh, it's gonna be a shootout.
But I know that the over under opened at a really high number in comparison to a lot of NFL games. Mm-hmm. And you know, you see that in college a lot, but this is a game where it truly is kind of almost who's going to have the ball last, in my opinion. Obviously the Falcons have the best offense in the league. They've been extremely balanced all year. Matt Ryan has been incredible. And you look at what is going to be on the opposite side for both of these offenses. Both of these defenses finished 10th, low 10s. Mm-hmm. Probably don't know exactly who's worse, because you can't really say that, you know, until they play each other again. But both defenses finished the season ranked in the bottom 10 of defenses in the NFL. But on the flip side, these offenses are so powerful.
This game's gonna
that's why it's gonna be so much fun.
It's gonna be so much fun to watch. This is gonna be a high scoring game. It's gonna be back and forth the whole game. I think it's gonna come down to who has the ball last. And I think if the Falcons learned anything from last week, you can't leave 35 seconds on the clock with the final drive for Aaron Rodgers.
Don't do that. Don't leave him any time if you can.
None. I mean, the Packers,
do not spike the ball after a first down.
Lesson learned.
Don't do it. Don't learn from the Cowboys.
No, but
learn from them. Don't.
No, learn. Make sure you don't do that. Make
don't
sure you
do
don't
it.
Repeat their mistakes.
Exactly.
But the Packers are just so hot right now. They had 72 points in the last 100 or so game minutes in the playoffs against the 2nd and 5th ranked scoring defenses. So, I mean, they are hot and looking really, really good. And I think this is going to be a Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers battle back and forth.
Well, and Jordy Nelson is still questionable. And you look at what the Packers were able to do against the Cowboys, and that was without Jordy Nelson. Yeah, they have a lot of other weapons, but he was limited in practice on Wednesday. Caught a few passes, but you know, it doesn't look promising that he will play. And of course, Davante Adams was injured against the Cowboys. He hurt his ankle in the 4th quarter, so he's questionable as well. But what we've learned about this team with Aaron Rodgers is that as long as he's playing to the capability that he is and how the high level he's playing, that these defenses are going to have to worry about him. And he has so many weapons around him that it is going to come down to, I think, who's going to play better defense and who's going to keep either quarterback off the field. And that's the difficulty for both the Falcons and the Packers, is keeping Matt Ryan and Aaron Rodgers off the field on the sidelines.
Yeah. And I mean, another story, and you look at earlier in the season, and we talked about how different these teams look right now. A storyline is running back Ty Montgomery, who switched positions halfway through the season. He was injured in their game earlier this season, along with Cobb, Eddie Lacy, and Jerry Cook. So that's going to be a key factor in this game. This offense is going to look completely different. And I think Montgomery's going going to add a lot of dimension to that offense with the switch of his position.
This offense for the Falcons have been, it's been so balanced. And we've talked about that before. And we talked about this last week, was that, you know, they kind of almost not fly under the radar, because that's not the right term, but because obviously they've got the home field advantage. But it was like, when we're talking about all these teams going into the NFL playoffs, it was like, they were just kind of sitting there, like, they just do what they do quietly.
Kind of under the radar.
Matt Ryan is obviously an MVP candidate at this point. Mm-hmm. But this offense, they had such great production all year.
Huge numbers.
Huge numbers. They had 38 passing touchdowns, second to only the Packers, who had 40. But when you look at the Falcons offense, yeah, they had 38 passing touchdowns, like an unbelievable amount of yards per game. Mm-hmm. But they can also run the football, and they have scored 20 rushing touchdowns to Green Bay's only 11. Mm-hmm. And that's all, like, the storylines can, you know, you can go either way, but it's not just about a quarterback. It's about all the weapons that they have and how balanced they are. Mm-hmm. And the Packers defense is going to have to worry about that. And it is a lot like what the Cowboys can do if you've got Ezekiel Elliott going and the wide receivers on the outside. And we saw that when the Cowboys could do that, mm-hmm. later on in the game, when they finally woke up and realized they were playing, they were able to tie the game and come back after being down 21-3. The Packers now have to worry about an offense that's even better at doing that in the mm-hmm. Falcons.
No, I completely agree. I think a huge thing with the Packers last weekend was them getting ahead early. And what huge reason for that was the amount of time that Rodgers had in the pocket. So the Falcons
unreal.
Are really... It was unreal. We talked about that earlier. It was hard to watch. I mean, he had so much time to figure out where he was going to throw in that pocket. And that's going to be huge for the Falcons. They got to get after him and put some pressure on him to have any chance of being successful in winning this game, I think.
I think so too. And that is a huge thing when you see Aaron Rodgers have all that time, because he's not a guy that gets flustered outside of the pocket either. No. Like, even if he's flushed out of the pocket, he's still really good. He's very good at improvising.
We saw that in the last play.
Well, and I don't know if you've seen all the, I mean, everybody's talking about that play, but talking about how that was completely improvising, which is obvious, right?
Like, right.
That's clear when you watch that game, right. But how comfortable he was making that play. And he didn't even turn his feet. Like, his feet were facing forward. Like, mm-hmm. that was an arm play that he made. And then I love it. And I know we talked about it on Monday, but when they zoom in on his feet, like, he's like teetering, like he's the one catching it on the sidelines, and he's up on his toes. And that's what's so good about
it.
I love
that
Rodgers.
We can see those aspects too of the game.
I know, cameras are great. But that's what makes him so good, is that he makes these plays. It's so, I mean, I think you can argue that a lot of quarterbacks, even in the NFL, couldn't make, even without all that pressure.
Right.
And he's so good in and
across
outside
the body,
pocket. And the protection that he has, that offensive line. So that is absolutely key. And you're right. Getting pressure on him, because once the Cowboys were able to do that, and you see that, you know, in games past, even before the Cowboys game, mm-hmm. they've got to be able to get pressure on him. But this offense in Atlanta is so good and so balanced. And yes, Julio Jones, you know, he's a little bit injured, but how good he's been. You look at all the other weapons they have, Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman. I mean, you mm-hmm. go down the list.
And the Packers secondary is a little banged up.
Exactly. Well, at this point in the season, almost every team is banged up somewhere, mm-hmm. but it's who's going to take advantage of it. But this is going to be a shootout. This one is going to be really fun to watch, as long as these two teams play the way we've seen them play mm-hmm. leading up to this championship game.
Yeah, I do too. And I said earlier, I think that a huge key in the Packers-Dallas game was the Packers getting up early, but the Falcons have got ahead in the first quarter of the season, outscoring opponents 139-68. So that's going to be tough for them. So like I said, I think this game is going to be back and forth the whole game. I think it's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to come down to who's going to have the ball last. And if it's Aaron Rodgers, I'm going with the Packers.
If it's Aaron Rodgers, I think most people are going with the Packers. And
I think it's tough to not.
There's so much that goes into the Cowboys game and how the Packers were able to beat them. But you knew, I knew, everybody that was watching it knew.
Well, we were nervous when we saw them
35 seconds
left. The
there was no doubt in my mind that if there was one person you don't want to have 35 seconds right mm-hmm. now in the NFL, it is Aaron Rodgers. So you're right. I think it is going to come down to, you know, who's on the field last, mm-hmm. assuming that both of these offenses continue to play. But because their defenses are so even on paper too,
right.
Like, you can look at numbers, and sometimes those are a little bit skewed because of who they've played. But they haven't played since week 8, completely different game. But it was close even then. Mm-hmm. So now you have to believe it's still going to be close, just at an elevated level, because both of these teams have looked so much better later in the season.
Yeah, I mean, they're offensively, they're just stacked on both sides. And I hate to go with the Packers, because that's who my dad blew out his knee against. And I'm a little salty towards them always.
Just a little salty.
Just a little.
Just a tad salty.
But I don't know. The way they're playing right now and how hot Aaron Rodgers is, I'm going with the Packers.
I'm going with the Packers too. And that is very difficult. I mean, this is obviously, you've got the Falcons tough. With the home field advantage. You've got Matt Ryan. I do think it's going to be really close. but I just can't bet against Aaron Rodgers anymore. Mm-hmm.
But did you see the home field advantage quote from Belichick?
Oh, yeah. He was like, well, ask Dallas how that feels.
And Kansas City. Like,
it's totally a Belichick thing to say. But no, I'm going to go with the Packers too, but I do think it's going to be close. And I really like the Falcons. I like what they bring to the table. I just can't bet against Aaron Rodgers
right now. It's tough too. It's tough.
It's very tough. And you know, the discussion now is how good can he be? He's young. He's only 33 years old. Can he be in the discussion of greatest of all time? I think he's absolutely making that case right now. Mm-hmm. And if he does make it to the Super Bowl and, of course, win the Super Bowl.
Rodgers, Brady.
That's what I hope for.
I'm hoping for it, too.
I hope for that. So Packers, Falcons, like we said, on Sunday at 3:05 Eastern on Fox. We're both taking the Packers, but it's not easy.
Nope, not
easy. It is not easy. Then, of course, the Steelers at the Patriots, the AFC title. That night, another great game. Both of these games are really good.
Very good. I'm very, really excited. They're good. Really good matchups.
And that's why, even though neither one of our teams are in it, it's going to be okay. We're going to live.
It'll still be entertaining and it'll still be football, so I'll be happy.
It's almost over. So
and we'll maybe be watching from a hot tub.
You never know. It's supposed to rain. It's like the it's the apocalypse type rain right now here in Texas.
Trying to keep us out of the hot tub. I don't like it.
I text my friends that live in Houston because it was flooding again. I was like, yo, you guys alive?
And I saw some
like,
crazy Snapchats from Houston.
It's insane. So it just keeps. So hopefully the rain will go away so we can get back in the hot tub.
Just put a tent over the hot tub.
It's like the injury tent they have on the sidelines at Alabama now. The worst thing ever for sideline reporters. I was so mad when I covered Alabama games for the SEC Network when they started doing that, because the whole thing is you can see and you can obviously hear, and then you can report on it, but you can't speculate.
Right.
But I can talk about and report on whatever I see and hear. Well, it's impossible when there's a tent around you. Like, maybe we can get one of those ordered to the house and just put it over the pool.
Yeah, let's see. Get one on eBay or Amazon.
We'd be the most popular people in College Station. I know that. Steelers at Packers, AFC title game. Obviously, Tom Brady and the Patriots didn't look great last weekend, but they were playing the Texans and Brock
Osweiler.
And that's
the huge thing I've talked about throughout the show all year long is playing down to your opponents is kind of a factor, and I think that's kind of what happened for the Patriots last week.
And they still blew them out. Like, yeah, of course it was a little close, but I mean, it was like, eventually this is going to give up, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, Tom Brady didn't look great, but they didn't have to.
Right.
And like Bill Belichick said after the game, he said, we made enough plays to win, but we didn't do it the right way.
Right.
He had a couple of interceptions. He only had two for the entire regular season. So obviously not great, but you still have to know it is the Patriots. It's Tom Brady since 2001, Tom Brady era, obviously, starting in 2001. The Patriots are 9-3 in head-to-head meetings against the Steelers. So it's kind of one of those kryptonite moments.
Facing each other for the fifth time in postseason.
It's a really good matchup on the field, but the storylines around it as well. You've got Tom Brady, you've got Ben Roethlisberger, you've got the Steelers offense, and then the Patriots offense without Gronkowski and without the defense that they, a lot of players that they got rid of, and you look at kind of what this game could turn into, a storyline of a lot of guys who have a lot of experience in this type of situation. It's who's going to prevail. I think that the first game is going to be high scoring and fun to watch. I think this will be the better football game because of what these two teams bring to the table.
Yeah, I do too. And I think there's a lot of history going into this game. So Bill Belichick is coaching for his NFL record 11th conference title game, and Brady's trying to play in his NFL record 11th conference title game. So both of those are going for 11. And then I think a huge thing here is you look back at when they played earlier this season and Ben Roethlisberger wasn't a factor. He wasn't in the game. And so I think that's going to be huge for this team. They're, like I said, it's kind of when we talked about the other game, these two teams are totally different than when they played earlier this season. And Big Ben is going to be a huge factor for that offense.
So a random stat from CBS.
Yeah, you know, I love
my random stats. So CBS put out a stat that's actually very interesting. So the Steelers are 7-0 in the postseason when Ben Roethlisberger throws for less than 225 yards.
Really?
Very. I mean, that's low, right?
Yeah.
But they're 7-0. They're 0-3 when he throws for more than 300 yards because they always have a really good running back, and that's the same storyline they've got again this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not taking anything away from what Roethlisberger is able to do, but this offense does lean so much on that ground game. And hello, you've got Le'Veon Bell right now, who, I mean, is incredible, right? I mean, arguably one of the most dangerous,
really, really dangerous
players in the NFL. He's a threat in the pass game. He's obviously a huge threat on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to assume that Belichick and the Patriots are going to put their main priority on loading the box and keeping him from being as efficient and as productive as he could be.
Mm-hmm.
But then that opens up the passing lanes. And hello, Antonio Brown is also there too.
Mm-hmm.
So Ben Roethlisberger doesn't have to be someone like Aaron Rodgers or someone like Tom Brady.
Right.
He just needs the offense to be productive around him. And that's how the Steelers have been very successful in the last part of the season.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think they're going to have to be balanced. Ben's going to be, but he's going to be away. And that's going to be, it's kind of been a struggle for him this year, is to be efficient when he's away. And that's going to be key in this game. But I think a huge storyline and matchup is going to be the Patriots secondary against the Steelers receiving corps and Antonio Brown. I mean, that's going to be huge for this one. And there's all that drama surrounding what happened earlier this week and last weekend with the live streaming, so you wonder how much that'll be a factor. But I really don't think it will be with Antonio Brown, like we mentioned earlier.
He's an adult.
And it wasn't like he was out. I mean, it's completely different than with the Giants out partying on a yacht. I mean, he wasn't affecting his game and prep, I don't think, at all. So I don't think that'll be a distraction. But Antonio Brown is going to be huge, huge key to this game.
The Antonio Brown versus Malcolm Butler matchup is going to be a lot of fun.
That's going to be a really fun matchup to watch.
It's going to be very fun. I mean, and you like looking at those individual matchups like that in games like this because of the talent, obviously. But the key for me, yes, obviously the secondary is going to be huge with Antonio Brown, but it's how can the Patriots slow down Le'Veon Bell? The Patriots have not given up a rushing touchdown since week 8.
Wow.
And you look at what Le'Veon Bell has done in their last 9 games, in the 9-game win streak, he's averaging 146 yards on the ground. Mm-hmm. He's 5.3 yards a carry. I mean, he is dangerous. And then you've got the option to go outside too with this receiving corps led by Antonio Brown. The Steelers' defense, though, is where you look and you say, okay, how can they affect Tom Brady? And he doesn't have Gronkowski. He doesn't have everything, obviously, they would want.
Mm-hmm.
Julian Edelman's his number one receiver, and that's not a bad option, right?
Right.
But earlier in the season, the defense for Pittsburgh couldn't get to the quarterback. I mean, they rarely blitzed. It was like they couldn't get to him. It was painful to watch almost. And the first 8 weeks, they had 8 sacks. And something happened and they turned it around where weeks 9 through 16, they had 27 and have added 2 in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the key here is both of these offenses are very good, obviously, stacked in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the Patriots have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and you look at what Le'Veon Bell can do to help out the Steelers. But can the Steelers' defense get pressure on Tom Brady? And then this Patriots defense, who they've looked pretty good all year, but they also haven't had to play a lot of these
They haven't had those big challenges yet.
And they got rid of Jamie Collins, and there was all that debacle earlier on the season.
Mm-hmm.
But it's who can get the most pressure on these offenses and where they're the best.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Steelers, they're going to have to get pressure
on
Tom Brady.
They got to get over to Tom Brady and put pressure on him and force him to make some mistakes if he can. We love Tom Brady. He's so good.
He's the greatest of all time.
He's the greatest of all time. Yeah. But I think what you said earlier is perfectly. They're going to have to create space for Bell to run, and they can't be reliant on their passing game for the Steelers. They got to be balanced in their offensive scheme, and that's going to be really, really key here, especially being away.
Well, and then, of course, the Steelers have James Harrison, who was a headline last week with all the drama on the 2-point conversion, but they also have a really young, fast linebacking core. And so it is getting pressure on Tom Brady, and the Patriots and the Steelers both, I think, are even in a lot of those areas where you look at, okay, their defense is obviously not as high profile as their offense,
mm-hmm.
but it's what Steelers defense shows up. And if it's the defense that showed up later on in the season, the Patriots offensive line is going to have a little bit more of a struggle.
Which I think it will be. I mean, whenever you're in these championship games, you're going to bring your A game. And I think that they're going to be the team that's been showing up late as of late.
So who are you taking?
Well, I'm going with the Patriots. I think another issue with the Steelers is their red zone efficiency. I mean, it's been real. They really struggled. We saw that last week. We saw it earlier in the season.
Finishing
when they played
drives.
I just can't. I mean, they get it down the field. They move the ball really well, but they just can't. They're just not efficient in the red zone. I think that's going to be a really, really tough task for them again. And so I got to go with the Patriots on this one.
They were definitely the more dominant team last week against the Chiefs, but they couldn't get in the end zone.
They could have easily been up in the 40s.
Absolutely.
They couldn't get touchdowns.
They won with 6 field goals. And you're absolutely right. You can't do that against teams that can also be efficient on the ground as well. And we obviously know the Patriots can. I think it's going to be a close game. I think both of these games are going to be close and a lot of fun to watch. I'm going to go with the Patriots.
We're on the same page this week.
We weren't last week.
We weren't.
You beat me last week. It's okay. I really want to see a Patriots-Packers Super Bowl.
I do too.
But I do think that these games both, I mean, either way, are going to be really good. I don't think either one of them are going to be anywhere close to a blowout like we saw last Saturday.
No.
We didn't see that Sunday, obviously.
Right.
But I think it's going to be great games. But I'm going Patriots, too. It's hard to go against Bill Belichick.
It is. Bill Belichick and Brady, I mean, it's really tough to go against them. And I just think they have more tools to be successful in this game.
Well, we aren't going to be having a show tomorrow, Friday.
Right.
But we will be back Monday at 3:00 Eastern with a new live show. of course, SB Nation Radio nationally every week. Check us out on social media.
Yeah.
Or iTunes.
Give us a follow.
iTunes is great, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. We love their podcast.
So if you would rather watch us, we'd love for you to join on social media at Casey Smith on Twitter, Casey Smith TV on Facebook. If not, we thank Gridiron Now and SB Nation and iTunes for listening.
Always.
And what are you going to do this weekend? Hang out with me?
I'm going to hang out with you. Duh. Hello.
We're inseparable.
Slightly.
It's fine.
We're like the little emoji, the little black girl, the girls in the black dresses, the twin blondes.
Yeah. I actually just saw an interesting comment come up, and this is something that obviously I don't get to see the comments on social media because since we're radio first, I have to look at you, which is fine. I like looking at you. It said something about being cheaters, about Brady and Belichick.
Ooh.
A lot of
controversial topics.
I know. And I think that it really depends on which side of this you stand on. I think that Deflategate was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the fact that it made it as far as like Supreme Court getting involved, I mean, it's just it's a football, right? And I'm not saying that it was okay if they were cheating or whatever. I also don't think that Tom Brady was the only reason that was happening.
Right.
I just have such an issue with that being the biggest problem when you look at the abuse and the domestic violence and everything else that goes on.
Right.
So I don't hold that against the Patriots. Maybe I'm crazy.
No, but I don't either.
Do not hold that.
There's so many bigger topics and things and scandals that go on than a deflated football.
So I was talking to one of my guy friends this morning who's a Cowboys fan, and he was like, you know, I used to hate the Patriots.
And then what changed?
And then Roger Goodell made me love the Patriots. And he was like, this is ridiculous. Like, Tom Brady was suspended for maybe overinflating or deflating a football. Like, Deflategate is, it's still just like, I cannot believe that this was this big of a deal. But to me, if you don't like the Patriots, it's a reason for you to hate them even
more.
Oh, it's
an easy out. You're like, oh, they're cheaters. It's an easy out to be able to hate them even more.
Also, let's be for real. I've not ever had to blow up a football or deflate a football or whatever, but I'd imagine that's happening a lot of other places. It just happened to be Tom Brady and Bill Belichick that
they got caught.
And whether it was them, whether it was the equipment or whatever, that doesn't bother me at all. I know it does bother a lot of people. Completely your own prerogative.
It's not a factor for us.
I don't care. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Call me crazy. Maybe, I don't know. Thanks for hanging out with us today, guys, on a weird, random Thursday time.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys on Monday. And who knows where we'll watch the game on Sunday. We might go live. We haven't, social media.
I'm telling you, tent and hot tub. It's
happening. Tent and hot tub. Thanks for hanging out, guys. We'll talk to you later.